Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Should we go out to eat? I'm thinking about hair extensions. Ooh, that makes no sense. Stop playing with me. All right, here we go.
And now, today's episode.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
There you go.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. This one's a real show. I'm not kidding around here. There are other shows you can listen to. They're not real. This is real. I took a shower this morning for this. I did. Even though this is an audio situation, I still showered for this. And I think that says a lot. I don't know what it says, but it says a lot. Hey, if you live in the middle of the country, smack in the middle, or the east, half of the country is under a heat wave warning. Temperatures around New York City will reach 110 degrees. It'll feel like it's 110. It'll actually only be 100. Oh, okay, fine. Actually, the actual temperature will be 103. It'll feel like 113. Oh, God. I don't think this has anything to do with global warming or anything, but can we get some global air conditioning? That would be nice. This isn't good for me. I sweat profusely when I bend down to pick up a penny off the ground. So this is not good for me. You know, they say it's so hot that you can crack an egg on the sidewalk and the egg will actually fry. That's how hot it is on the sidewalk. Well, today it's so hot, you could actually do an entire roast. Yes, an entire roast with potatoes and carrots and everything right on the sidewalk. That'll do it. That's enough. Thank you. That's enough. Thank you. That'll be enough. I wish I could say that to people as they start talking to me endlessly. I don't know. What do I look like to you? Some type of a sound machine or something? You think you could just talk and talk and talk and I'm going to stand there and just go, oh, okay, just use me as a wall. Just talk at me. Don't expect me to respond. Just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Do I look like that to you? If you're just going to talk incessantly at me, then the least you can do is let me say to you after a short period of time, okay, that's enough. We're done. Stop. Just stop. Okay, that's enough. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. This is what I do. Oh, are you serious? This is what you do? Are you kidding me? Don't you have a real job? Don't you work somewhere where you're contributing to society in some sense? This is what you do? You sit in front of a microphone every day and you just spout off like some type of endless piece of Is that what you do? Yeah. You get paid for that? Yeah, I do. What kind of job is that? What are you doing? Don't you sit in a cubicle at all and enter data into a computer? Don't you do that? No, I really don't. What's wrong with you? What are you, crazy? Don't you stand behind a counter and serve people when they ask for certain types of food, like a Whopper or something? Don't you do that for a living, even part-time? No, I don't. I just do this. What's wrong with you? All right, fine. I think you get the point. All right, today's show, I've got a couple of warnings for you, and this is serious. I know I started the show acting like a buffoon, but this is serious. There's been a warning by the United States government, the government of the United States, ladies and gentlemen, salute whenever I say that. There's an app on your phone and on your computer called FaceApp. You may be familiar with it. It's the newest, hottest thing, kids. You download this thing called FaceApp. Don't do it, though. Don't do it. You take a picture of your face, or you can go to your gallery, your photo gallery on your phone, and pick out a picture of you with your face or somebody with a face. And then it has little icons on the bottom where you can see what you would look like in about 20 or 30 years. It's called Old Face. And it's fairly accurate. It's very, very interesting. It's fun and engaging. It's called FaceApp. Here's the problem. This is why you shouldn't download it, say people. Because it's a Russian app. The app is Russian. And it says it right on it when you're downloading it in your Google Play thing. Google Play, Google Play. Sounds like we're all babies, doesn't it? What are you going to do? Google Play, Google Play. It's called FaceApp. Don't do it. Don't download it. As soon as you do, it asks if it can have access to all your data in your phone, like your phone numbers, and I don't know why they would need that, all your pictures, all your stuff. And as soon as you say yes, your data can be, and all your everything can be drawn out of your phone or your computer, because it's a Russian app. For some reason, I don't know why, we don't trust the Russians. What is that? Russians are able to hack into our systems and into our phones and our computers? Are you serious? How did they do that? They've never done that before, have they? No, just a couple of elections, that's all. Don't download Russian apps, you idiot. Here's the kicker. They say if you belong to the Democratic National Party, the DNC, sounds like a medical procedure, doesn't it? I have to go into the hospital tomorrow. They're going to do a DNC. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. If you belong to a political party, definitely don't download it, because that's where they've been hacking, apparently. Have you read the news? Come on, give me a break. It sounds like a lot of fun, but this is what Russians do. They offer you a lot of fun, and then they screw you in the end. It's like vodka. Oh, take my Russian vodka is fantastic. It is the best vodka in the world. Hey, why don't you try some? And then you get shit-faced, and then they take your clothes and your wallet. Yeah, don't fall for Russian stuff, man. Unless you're Donald Trump and the Donald Trump family, then, of course, you respect them. See, that's the ironic thing. If Donald Trump downloaded the FaceApp thing and then hit the icon to see what he would look like in 20 years, it would be the same. So it doesn't really work for him. All right, that's a very strict warning, and I'm not kidding about that. You check that out, man. Now, it's an interesting app. I think there are other apps that can do the same thing. So just make sure it's not a Russian app, because that is like a little obviously wrong. Seriously? I heard about it on television. And then they demonstrated what all the celebrities would look like when they're 20, 30 years older, and it was very, very funny. And I did go to download it because it seemed like a lot of fun. And what, of course, is life without fun and seeing what you're going to look like when you're old? That is so much fun. Actually, it would scare the hell out of me. But to other people, it's just fun. If you're young and if you're like 20 and you're going to see what you may look like when you're 50, that can be fun. When you're actually 50, that's not fun anymore. That's like too much. That's too much information. I'm feeling old. Well, this is what you're going to look like when you're even older. Oh, this isn't fun. This is not fun. To a 20-year-old, yeah, that's so funny. To a 50-year-old, that's not funny. That's not funny. Excuse me, that's not funny. Be careful what you don't wish for. All right, that's warning number one. And for that alone, you should be thanking me. Just stop giving out your personal information just because something on a phone or on a computer says, is it okay if I steal everything you have? That's ridiculous. That's like a mugger coming up to you as you're walking down the street. Excuse me, you don't know me, but can I take your wallet and all of your jewelry and your cash? I'm asking. Oh, you asked. Okay, sure. Sure, I give you permission to take everything that I have and my identity. Sure, why not? Well, you asked, so I guess that's okay. Same thing. There's no difference. It's same thing. All right, that's warning number one. Here's warning number two. You like peanut butter? You did. Until I tell you this story, then you won't like peanut butter anymore. The FDA, this is the Food and Drug Administration, like we have one, really. I feel like since Trump's taken office, we don't have administrations anymore. Yeah, Food and Drug Administration, and Trump says, well, that costs too much money. Let's increase the deficit by $1 trillion, but not have any government agency look and see what we're eating. Let's forget that part. Yeah, let's forget about the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. They don't need that. Well, there's nothing to protect here. You're all going to die anyway. Face app, you can see what you're going to look like just before you die. Sorry, peanut butter. Here's the deal with peanut butter. Apparently, according to the Food and Drug Administration, there's no question, and they've known this for quite some time, and they'll tell you very easily that in peanut butter, there are insect parts. Excuse me, Ron, your microphone doesn't seem to be working. I thought you said that in peanut butter, there are insect parts. I thought you said that, but of course that's absurd, isn't it, Ron? No, that's what I said. And that's what the Food and Drug Administration of this country says. Yeah, there are. It's true. The FDA has confirmed it. There may be up to an average of 30 or more insect fragments per 100 grams of peanut butter. And an average of one or more rodent hairs per 100 grams, as well as spider parts. The FDA lists the significance as aesthetic. What they're doing is they're admitting that, yeah, that's a part of peanut butter. And here's why. And I don't understand it, but this is true. Peanuts inherently... My nose is getting stuffed. What did you do to me? Did you roofie me? Did you roofie my nose as I was talking? Did you slip something into my nostrils? When peanuts are grown, there's all kind of insects that crawl all over it and leave microscopic little hairs. And even after they shell the peanuts and all that kind of stuff, there's still rodent parts and insect parts that are microscopic, that are small, and they stay in the peanut. And when you eat peanut butter, you're also eating that. You're eating spider hairs and rodent hairs and insect parts. Now you try to eat peanut butter ever again, you won't be able to, because this is absolutely true. And if you don't believe me, then goggle it. Google, I don't know how to say it. Go to your Google machine and Google this subject, and you will see that I am shitting you not. If you eat peanut butter after this, you're a better woman than I am, because I'm not a woman. I'm serious, man. You get it? Now, you know, as horrible as that sounds, it's not odd that we eat insect parts all the time, but we just don't do it purposely. We don't say, hey, you know, go to a restaurant and say, would you like an appetizer? Yes, insect parts, please. Give me like a little assorted thing of rodent hairs and spider hairs, things like that, and maybe a couple of broken insect legs or something. Alfredo, please. There's flour. We do it with flour. Flour is made from sometimes insects. I think it's grasshopper flour or something like that. I'm not too sure. I don't know where you get how many grasshoppers does it take to make flour? I don't know how that works. I don't even know what I'm talking about. That part I'm not sure about with the flour. But the other stuff I am. It's a wonderful world, man. It's just a wonderful world. It's better not to know stuff. I've said that so much, man. It's better not to know stuff. Especially at this time in our lives. It's just better not to know. Because it doesn't matter anymore. It just doesn't. When someone says, hey, did you know that, you go, no, I didn't. Don't tell me, please. Just don't tell me. That's why I don't like to go to the doctor. They say, hey, how you doing, Ron? I'm feeling all right. Let me check your blood pressure. Oh, my goodness. What's the matter, doctor? Your blood pressure. What's wrong with it? You know what? I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Apparently, you're reacting to the point where this is something that might concern me, so I don't really want to know. I know you keep it to yourself or something, or tell your friends at a party or something, but I don't want to know. I just don't want to know. I don't care. I don't care anymore. Doesn't really make any difference, does it? You're just going to put me on another pill, and I can't fit all these pills in this pill box thing. There was a time in my life not long ago where I had to buy this pill thing. It has 7 compartments in it because there are 7 days in a week. I learned that last week. If you take more than one pill, or even just one, I mean, I don't take a lot, but I need to be reminded because apparently the older I get, the more I forget. So I should never have to say, well, wait a minute, did I take my pill today? I can go to this pill container and go, oh, there it is. I guess I didn't. If I didn't have the pill container, I would just, I have no idea if I took it or not. I was busy. It's so automatic, I just don't remember if I took it or not. And Ron, what does this pill do? Oh, it keeps my legs attached to my body. And not important, but I should really be taking it. Not important, though. All right, so you've learned 2 things from me today, and 2 is really enough. Let's recap, shall we? The first item that we discussed was the Face App. It's called Face App. It's not the Face App. It's called Face App, FaceApp. It's a Russian download. Don't do it. Don't download Russian stuff. Stop downloading. Cut it out. Stop downloading. And stop saying yes to things. Stop saying yes, or just okay. Stop it. That's number one. Number two is peanut butter, which you will inevitably never eat again because there are rodent hairs and spider hairs and insect parts which are allowable in peanut butter by the Food and Drug Administration. They say, yes, it's in there. It's okay. It's not going to kill you. But now just the fact that I know that crap is in peanut butter I could go on, but I won't, not today at least. There are many foods that we eat on a regular basis. You would be surprised what's in that stuff. You would. There's arsenic in some foods that we eat. Now, not enough arsenic to kill us, although arsenic is used for that purpose. It's small amounts, but it's in there. There's more stuff, man. There's just the stuff we put in our mouth is incredible. You shouldn't put anything in your mouth. And I'm talking to you teenagers who haven't had sex yet. Don't put anything in your mouth. Make sure she's showered at least. Or he's showered. Sorry. Let's keep this equal, shall we? All right. By the way, you're welcome. You're welcome. I think what you're doing is you're yelling at your speakers now and you're saying, Ron, thank you. This show has been valuable to me. Thank you. And my response is, you're welcome. You're welcome. This is what I do. If I can change the life of one person, if I can make one person not eat peanut butter anymore, or save them from downloading an app which was going to hack into their system, then I've really made a difference in the world. I really haven't. I just say that to myself. And you should do that too. Every day when you get up in the morning, you should say to yourself, I'm going to affect somebody's life in a positive way somehow. I'm going to help a person, a senior, cross the street, whether they want to cross it or not. I'm going to make a difference in somebody's life. In a positive way. That doesn't mean like you're going to hit their car or anything by mistake because you were texting while you were driving. That's affecting somebody. No, I mean in a positive way. In a positive way. It can be your spouse, one of your siblings, whatever. But every day affect somebody in a positive way. Smile at them and just give them a nice, happy smile, and they'll look back at you and say, What's wrong with you? What type of mental condition do you have that you just walk around smiling at people? I think that's illegal. I'm not sure. It's just odd. It's just wrong. Our guest joins us today right after this word. And our guest is going to talk about something that freaked me out. Do you remember Madoff? He made off with a lot of people's money. Well, I don't trust people anymore financially. And if you have stocks or bonds or you invest or you have a 401k or 401c or 401p, I don't know what the hell those things are. I just don't trust anybody, not after what Madoff did. If you're not familiar with the whole thing, you'll find this quite fascinating. So we're going to do that. All right. Have we done everything we should do here? I hope so. All right.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel in the schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her, so live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Good morning, Ron. How are you?
I'm great. Bill Francovella joins us now. This is an interesting book that you have created here called The Madoffs Among Us, Combat the Scammers, Con Artists, and Thieves Who Are Plotting to Steal Your Money. Like, how could I not read this book? Bill, I've done a lot of interviews, and we talk about a lot of stuff, and the one thing we don't really ever talk about is the Madoff thing and how, I mean, that made me nervous about having people handle my money for the rest of my life, yet nobody's really talking about this. I find that kind of odd.
Well, I find it odd as well. And after 30 years in the business, I decided that I'm going to write a book. I'm going to do some exposure on the underbelly, the soft underbelly of the industry. The people who are outright stealing from our families. I have to tell you that the overwhelming majority of financial advisors are doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But God forbid we're in the company of a bad guy, because then we're in a made-up situation where we just could stand to lose our fortune or all of our wealth, whatever it is.
It became, the Madoff thing did teach us a gigantic lesson. And as Obama said, it's a teachable moment. If you don't learn from these situations, then you're a stupid person. But here the question is, it's probably still being done on many different scales. How would anybody such as myself know if my financial advisor is amongst these people hatching schemes for years and years and me not even knowing until it's too late? I mean, how can you even check on something like that?
It takes a lot of due diligence. It really does. And you know what? Since Bernie Madoff, now he stole $65 billion, so mm-hmm. he was headlines for right. months and months and months. But there are so many other people in the financial services industry that make away with $1 million or $20 million or $300 million, and we hardly read about them unless they're local.
Mm-hmm.
I am confident that it begins with a very, very candid exchange, asking the appropriate questions, further determining if the person who is handling our finances has had any implication in the past, has had any discredit to his or her reputation. You can start, Ron, by doing something very simple
mm-hmm.
and going to a website that is sponsored by the Financial Regulatory Authority. And it's called brokercheck.com.
Oh.
Plug in the name of your financial advisor or the person with whom you're considering doing business, and look for disclosures. If a disclosure is a problem where there has been a customer complaint, you know, if there's one disclosure, have that conversation with the advisor. Tell me what happened in 2015
uh-huh.
with your disclosure on your broker check record.
Yeah.
If there's two or three or more disclosures,
not good.
I'm suspicious.
Yeah.
I'm looking for somebody else.
Yeah, I don't think if I quizzed my financial advisor about something that was questionable that they would be completely honest with me necessarily, because the conversation is about being dishonest. So that kind of, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Madoff worked on his own. He wasn't with any financial institutions, was he?
Originally, he was. He started his own firm quickly out of college. And originally, he was doing the right thing.
Uh-huh.
He knew he wanted to be in the financial services business. His father-in-law, Ruth's dad, was a CPA, very prominent in Queens and in that area, and would really filter a lot of new business in his direction. So he built his practice actually very efficiently. But then his lifestyle outdistanced his income, and that's where the problem was. He was larger than life. You know, the yachts and the homes
sure.
and the opulent lifestyle and so on.
Sure.
He knew he had to steal, and that's exactly what he
yeah.
did. He just started stealing people's money. And it worked until people wanted their money back. It was a classic Ponzi
mm-hmm.
scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And when they wanted their money back during the financial crisis of 07, 08,
yeah.
He admitted that the whole thing was a scam.
Wow. I mean, your book is about that, and it's also about avoiding these things in the future for, you know, your own problems. But I'm just curious, did he not know at any point in his brain, this amazingly intelligent guy, that someday that these clients would want to cash in on some of the stuff and he wouldn't have it? Or did he think that would constantly finance internally from his other clients? I mean, he must have had a scheme in that sense.
You know, I've done a study on the scam artists throughout history,
yeah.
and there are some constants. The constants are, number one, they're charming.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they really don't have to look for business because business follows them, and it's is the responsibility of each individual to check their greed level and make sure that if it's too good to be true, it probably is. But they have such huge egos. I have to believe, and Ron, you're right. You know, come on, you can't perpetrate a scam forever. Right. At some point in time, people are going to want their money.
Yeah.
But they hope against hope that that day never comes, knowing that it probably will.
Yeah.
And it did with Madoff, and it did with Carlo Ponzi and Ken Lay and so many others. Yeah. Bernie Evers.
That's Ponzi must have been, you know, to have a scheme named after you, that's big stuff. let me ask you one more thing. Is it generally safer to deal with financial institutions such as the Fidelity Investments? I'll use that just as one example. But firms that have been around for a long time that are nationally known firms, are those safer than going off with an individual or somebody that leaves that firm in order to start their own investment company?
You know, that's a very important question. Mm-hmm. The larger firms have a tremendous responsibility to make certain that their reputations are not tarnished.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen situations with Wells Fargo and with Merrill Lynch and with Fidelity,
mm-hmm.
where one of their advisors goes adrift mm-hmm. and starts making inappropriate recommendations mm-hmm. or actually does something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the firm, they'll carefully consider it, and oftentimes they'll come back and make that person whole
mm-hmm.
if the situation is warranted. There mm-hmm. there may be a lot of contention there, but I've seen that occur.
Mm-hmm.
The independent firms, if they have the backing of a broker-dealer that has some substance, they have the capital requirements, and they are profitable, they're typically very, very good. It comes right down to the individual in front of you, the financial advisor with whom you're having that conversation, with whom you entrust with your finances.
Right.
That's the crux of the matter, right there at that level.
Okay. Well, time doesn't permit me to talk to you forever, but I would like to, because this is like, it's something that we should have been discussing for decades here, but kind of haven't. But fortunately, there is a book where you can have your questions answered and get educated on this. It's The Madoffs Among Us, Combat the Scammers, Con Artists, and Thieves Who Are Plotting to Steal Your Money. If someone wanted to follow you, Bill, how would they do that? Is that possible?
Well, thank you. Yes, the book is available, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, of course. And they can reach me if they just Google Madoffs Among Us. It'll bring you right to my website,
okay.
BillFrankVella.com.
Okay.
But I'm doing a lot of speaking, and I appreciate invitations to share the information that I've been able to accumulate over the years.
This might be a Bible for investors. I don't know, but we certainly needed one. Thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure, Ron. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you. Bye-bye. What did I tell you? It was going to be a pretty decent show. I think I was right. All right. Stay out of the heat. Seriously, man. It can kill you. You be careful. I'll be back again the next time a weekday rolls around. That's when I do this thing. 5 days a week. I think there's only 5 days in the week, right? No? I got that wrong? No. Interesting. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.